Live and rolling. All right. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bitcoin Cash podcast, following Bitcoin Cash on its rise to, on its rise to global reserve currency. Following Bitcoin Cash on its rise to global reserve currency. This is episode number 150. Nailed it with the timing. Look at that. How's that for scheduling? I'm your host, Jeremy, and Jet is doing the producing. Today we have our guests, Fiendish, Ryan, and Steve. Oh, too much rock and roll already. Yeah. Fucking hell. We haven't even got cooking yet, lads.
It's the metal episode.
Well, that's it. How about that BCH Guru song, though? Like, I was not expecting that. They're just coming hot out of the gates, some Jamaican
with
vibes.
With the animation to boot.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's great.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, to me, one of the reasons that I enjoy that kind of stuff so much is that it shows the community is organically getting on the same page. Like, we didn't coordinate that with them. We didn't tell them about that. But there was clearly a non-trivial effort, and they've bought into the Bliss brand, the idea of the upgrade, you know, the Velmas that we did, and they just were rolling.
That is a sign that what you've achieved here is already important. You know, it's the second conference, but it's already created something. You know, they've last year,
1 year ago, yeah, 2024.
My God, how time has flown. Yeah, but I think you've started something. You started a trend, and it's really good. Put me right in the vibe straight away. It's like, shit.
Even Jonathan got bought in, you know. He said his comment was, well, I listened to it, wasn't really my thing. Then I listened to it a few more times and suddenly I was rolling. Suddenly I was loving it. You know, so if you can get him on board, you've got to win. You've got to win. Ryan, how does it feel 1 year later?
Really excited. You know, we do a lot of work on this, but we meet on a call every Friday for an hour, you know, leading up to it. And I feel like this year we just really try to get very narrow on our focus. Like, I remember, like, just different ideas. You can have a bunch of ideas. But I do recommend everyone go and watch, you know, the two videos that we did for this year. One was what is the VM limits, so everyone can be educated on what the upgrade is. But the other one, like, what is BCH Bliss? And, you know, in that mission that, you know, Jonathan was really inspired to bring together, you know, the investor class from BCH and the developer class. So when you add investors and developers, you know, we can make magic. We can continue to create products and innovation, because General Protocols is really created from that, from his experience going down to BCH Bliss. So that was really the mission, the vision behind why we need this conference, why we need developers, you know, all in a room together, and you know, to create businesses and create people using it. Now, I'm super excited. We're two years into Cash Tokens, seeing that market grow. Really excited to hear from the Cauldron team. We got a stable coin within the market now. Excited to learn more about that. A yielding product, a collateral. There's so many things that have happened over the last, you know, few years where BCH has really gone there. Then hear back from the community, talking to people what they want to see, you know, moving forward. You know, privacy is a big topic, block speed's a big topic, and these kind of ideas will be what's prevailing in, you know, the coming upgrades, and this is your opportunity to come and be a part of it and have your voice and put a chip forward, and let's continue to build peer-to-peer cash. So.
Yeah, Steve, what do you make of it 1 year in, 1 year later?
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm just happy to be here once again. Ljubljana is a beautiful city, beautiful country. Just the flight over was gorgeous, and enjoyed flying from Zurich to here today. It's just really, really pretty picturesque. But happy to be here. Last year, I was, I guess, fairly new to the BCH ecosystem and maybe was looked at as an outsider a little bit. But
done a lot of work.
I put in a little bit of proof of work, but getting involved with Cash Stamps is really cool. Hat tip to Jim Hamill and his brother, who've done the heavy lifting of actually making that a project a functional tool. But it's been fun promoting that and kind of promoting BCH using that that tool that they created. So, but yeah, just tagging on to what Ryan was saying, I think, like anything else, activity is important, and we're having a lot more activity in this space. Even when it feels like sometimes we might be spinning our wheels, you don't know what seeds are being planted out there that will bloom. So I'm glad this is happening again. Cool that it's happening in the same place, but I'm just in general, it's fun seeing the ecosystem grow and being a part of it. So I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. And Ryan, I think I'm picking up on what you said. Cash Tokens is now 2 years old. I mean, we talk about Bliss 1 year ago, but 2 years for Cash Tokens. I remember when we did the stream for the upgrade there, we literally just did it online, like in a Zoom room, me and Mini Satoshi and a few other people kind of joined in, Jason Dreisner saying he was glad to have got it over the line. And now we have a serious ecosystem spawning. I don't know if you guys have seen the latest Cauldron TVL numbers, but it's really starting to pick up. You know, it's now in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the BCH total is climbing. If the price pumps, suddenly the USD valuation is rising, and there's enough projects on there that I don't know what they are, the major ones.
I don't even know the place. Number one right now is Store of Value, which just popped out of nowhere. It's just, you know, I think there's $72,000.
Somebody's putting real money on the line too. That's not like as soon as you go live, like people are watching that, you know, people are going to be jumping in, going to be speculating on that. And that's what you're saying about the seeds. You plant the seeds early and then it takes a little time for them to mature, right? So do you have any thoughts on what we've seen from Cash Token so far? And I know you, Ryan, were specifically interested in that this year. What is lacking, or what are you looking to see be the next step?
Well, you know, I think to get investor confidence, and someone like myself that's potentially looking at investing in the space himself wanted to see some maturity. You know, we've had a couple of wounds in our DeFi journeys. I do think that we do have another video planned and educational, just talking about scaling DeFi, whether it's EVM versus UTXO and why UTXO might be the best way to script it. And just excited to talk to developers more. And you know, and what this means in the world of people that are listening, you know, a DeFi system. If you look at a lot of the action that's going on out there, it is users are jumping on a DeFi, and the plan is just to get more coins in more people's hands, and have a reason to use it. But also just creating, you know, I look at it that we need to be able to create enough financial products as a business owner that like the current traditional finance system has. So that's what sparked my, you know, mine last year, the fact that I could collateralize my BCH and not have to sell it. And not, you know, the concept of paying, let's say if you wanted to take out like a home equity line of credit on your home, and you're paying a bank to access your equity. With DeFi, you could get, you're borrowing it from yourself. Like, why am I going to pay someone a fee? Why do I need to pay someone to access my equity? And the fact that we can build those kind of unique products within the space, I think, you know, would for, you know, from a business class standpoint, you know, gain a lot of interest. And someone that's, you know, always trying to accumulate more BCH and not wanting to sell it to do things, that's very interesting to me. So.
Just go leverage long feet. You're nodding there. I know you're a big business aficionado. You know, where do you see the Cash Tokens inroads starting there?
So, yeah, I mean, I think the last 2 years of Cash Tokens, it's been exciting. So the first year, it took a while to get the tools out there so that people could actually easily create the tokens. Now we have Cash Token Studio and Cauldron Dex where you can list them. Like that's obviously so much more activity going on. What really excited me is Moria, and I'm really looking forward to the version one of that when it re-releases, because I think stable coins that are backed by BCH, I mean, this is really nice. Stable coins are the stepping stone, but having a centralized point, of course, that's a no-go. So, you know, in the worst case scenario, what you end up with, you know, you have inflation, but instead of that money then going to the banks and governments, it's going to the person with the loans or people with actually holding the BCH. So that's really interesting. But yeah, I would like to chime in with what Ryan said. So we've seen 2 years of development in Cash Tokens, and I think the name Cash Tokens was a dangerous name for the protocol because the tokens is so prevalent, but Cash Tokens enables so much more, such as all the financial tools that we need. You know, if we really want to be decentralized, sound money for the world, that needs to be there, and it needs to be seamless. It needs to be super easy. It can't be just equal to the banks. It's got to be so much better than that for users to come and jump into that. What I'd like to see, what I don't think we've seen used as much as I'd like to have seen, is things like JDEX. When I remember hearing about this and the idea of selling tickets, you know, you sell tickets to a concerts. You know, Ticketmaster is massive. It produces huge amounts of revenue. And yet we've got the technology that's already there to be able to completely take over Ticketmaster. Where, and that's what I'd love to see. So we've got the technology, and this is, we've got, you know, we've got an amazing system already, and it just requires the entrepreneurs to meet up with the developers to tap into that, to be able to create these products, beat what's already there, such as Ticketmaster. And you get to tap into, you know, revenues of hundreds of millions, maybe billions globally. And these are possibilities that are enabled with cash tokens. So I'm excited to see like where that goes. And I see that forums like this are the perfect melting pot to bring the, you know, people's ideas and things like that, to be able to take this, the technology that's there, further. But rather than like looking at it as the underlying technology and the tools, which of course could be improved to make it easier, but is actually the products and the services built on what we've already got, to leverage that and generate very lucrative businesses. So I'm excited to see what happens over the next 2 years. If it carries on in this pace, it's going to be fun.
Well, if I can add to that, you know, I see it two ways. Yeah, we need like a business class of BCH to go out there and try to, you know, integrate with the larger financial system. We absolutely need that. But also, like, if the regulatory environment's not friendly, what I'm excited for the VM limits is the privacy market. If you're not going to let me in, I'm going to move around.
100%.
So, you know, I'm really excited that, you know, after the upgrade, what the developers can do in regards to tooling to be able to create more. You know, I know electron cash has been kind of like the way to go for BCH privacy, but I think not relying on a centralized server to be able to do that mix, you know, coin join and do those kind of activities. Don't know how or who's going to be the one to lead that, but there's a huge opportunity, obviously, in privacy that the BCH needs.
Well, that's the thing, you know, touching on the upgrade, and like you say, the sort of maybe 3 years ago or even 2 years ago with the cash tokens upgrade going live, DeFi was the thing that everybody was talking about. That was hype. That was where the money was moving. That's where people were getting involved in. And it feels like now it's kind of privacy has become the buzzword that's on everybody who's seriously in the sort of cypherpunk part of crypto's mind. So that's a area that we need to compete on, and I think that's going to be coming with the new upgrade. Is there a risk that we jump onto that and then in 2 years time it's AI or it's, you know, something else that's not coming with the privacy stuff? Or is it just another building block in the stepping stone of being competitive in the crypto markets?
If I could answer that, so for me, privacy is the only way that we can guarantee success. Without when we look at, so if Bitcoin, if the fork didn't happen and Bitcoin still worked, BTC still worked as originally designed, we'd probably already be where we needed to be with adoption and usage. But where we are today, we have got huge amounts of regulatory pressures and KYC, and they're using, we have AI now, doing chain analysis is easier than ever, and it's only going to get easier. And so when they're, you know, when people are using crypto, in most countries you have to register it as, you know, if you use it and you make a payment, you have to pay tax on it, even though you're just using it as money, it becomes then impossible to use. And so if you don't have robust privacy that keeps up, and sorry, you know, is it one step ahead of the authorities, then the idea of creating P2P cash for the world, I would say, has no future. So I think it's critical, and I think the Bitcoin Cash has good privacy today. I do not think it has the privacy that is needed in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. So we absolutely need to move in there. I do not think it's a hype. I do not think it's a buzz. And I think if it's the thing that, if BCH was to wait too long on that, I think that it would be impossible for it to move forward without serious regulatory hurdles.
Yeah, what do you think, Steve? Are we going to be on the right path here? Is our rate of improvement fast enough? Are we going to catch this hype train, or are we, you know, still lacking a little on the network effect and more dev needed?
Well, time will tell. It always does. But in regards to cash tokens specifically, I like that. It really bolsters the narrative that we bring to the table of utility, not just from a money aspect, but DeFi and Moria and this guy. There might be some time where you can't buy this guy's time anymore, but right now.
Get some now.
Right now.
Fiendish right now. Token exactly. Is cheap on Cauldron right now.
And I can attest to it. You know, I was doing a workshop in my local market for the Libertarian Party, and I wanted some feedback and expertise from a man who's very good in front of an audience. And so I purchased some Fiend and I sent it to him, and I got an hour of his time. And it, you know, it worked.
And hopefully it was a good hour.
It was. It was.
It was a worthwhile investment.
I didn't ask for a refund, so got my money's worth. And but the point is it has utility, and it really bolsters our narrative that we talk about with Bitcoin Cash, and that is the utility aspect of it. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what happens. Big fan of Moria. I try to jump in as the smog of Moria money.
On V0, mate, you needed to save it until V1, you know, yeah. Make a splash.
Yeah, I think a lot of the on-chain volume was for me shoring up my my collateral when it dipped.
But, we got to make some good memes about that. There's going to be some fodder for, like, you better be careful what you sell, as I'll make a meme of you liquidating on USD.
Exactly. But yeah, it's exciting. I like seeing all the projects that are coming out of it, and just logging into BSH Pump, and seeing new tokens that are being launched pretty frequently now is really neat. In fact, there may be for attendees this weekend might be a new one on there. So right. We'll see what happens. I'm going to need some guidance from somebody, but hopefully launching something here.
I mean, I think that tokenized time idea is so powerful. I actually saw, I can't remember now, but there was maybe like a Solana platform that recently launched and was doing some marketing around that same concept. And I thought, well, we've actually already pioneered that on BCH. But it's funny because it's come full circle then, right? Because BCH is copying their Pump Fun thing with BCH Pump. And then now they're probably unknowingly, they're probably Convergent Evolution. They've invented this same idea of tokenized time. So I think that's a beautiful example of BCH being open to absorbing other ideas from the rest of the industry. And maybe that's the same place we're getting stable coins. It's the same place we're getting the privacy stuff. It's the same idea in a certain sense that we got cash tokens and DeFi. Any thoughts on that? How's the BCH community doing in terms of we're absorbing ideas, but still saying, you know, staying true to our own mission, our own pathway, our own way of doing things? Because sometimes you have people who come in, I still see it today, not very often, but sometimes people saying, oh, it's P2P cash, why are you doing all this other stuff? If you just did P2P cash, it would work. I don't believe that, but we nevertheless need to pay some attention to staying unique. You know, if you become a little bit of something from everyone, maybe you lose your own identity. I don't know, Ryan, any thoughts?
We talked about this a little bit, and I feel like, you know, like you said, there could be some, like, maybe like crypto fails if we don't get privacy and things like that. I view it as like, what's the Ron Paul quote? When an idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by anyone. Like, I look at AI. I feel like 4 or 5 years ago, like, AI was like this thing we heard about, and now like we use it in our everyday lives. I don't know what that inflection point for crypto is. And I just think the more tooling BCH has for that, has a better opportunity to become whenever main society feels like this is the tool that we need enough, that we have it at least. And then you enter the ecosystem, oh my God, I have all these other tools within it. To say that like we should ossify and stay on one peer-to-peer cash just for push payments, I think that's a limited market. I don't think, you know, we can reach, you know, what the main, why I got into crypto, this whole idea that, you know, humans could be free of government. And, like someone in a third world country doesn't have a bank and get access to the internet and participate in the global financial system. Like, yeah. I think the more things we do to do that is the whole mission that I got into crypto, you know, whatever coin you want to call it. And that's why I think BCH has that mission behind it.
Yeah, any thoughts, Vanish?
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I think the reason why Bitcoin Cash, I think, is like its greatest strength and its biggest weakness was that it was so headstrong on one particular thing, which is why it survived after this brutal fork and why the community stayed and existed. And, you know, I think there's some people who are a bit more OGs that are also vocal on this point, that they're concerned about it's losing its vision. But decentralized money is much more than, yeah, as you just say, it's just like just
push payments.
Push money to, you know, to push payments. And there's so much, when you're using banking systems, there's direct debits, standing orders, and subscriptions and all this, there's so much more to it. So to just stop anyway, it just doesn't make any sense. Success won't come through there. But just echoing what Ryan said is, coming back to something I said earlier, is that the chance, if Bitcoin worked, BTC worked as intended, we'd already be there. But that ship has sailed and the fork happened. And so the rapid price increase that we're seeing just through restrictive supply, that's not going to happen. You know, almost all of the BCH and almost all the BTC is already out in the market. So how do you bootstrap that economy of, say, decentralized money? Like, I don't think anyone here knows. That's the truth. So the network itself needs to be a foundation for innovation, and that's what's happening. So, and the more possibilities that people can do, the more, you know, the developers can just create crazy stuff, whatever it is, the better, because then it gives the money a purpose. It gives it a reason to be used and be spent and be accepted. And only then, when you have this bustling ecosystem, will the normie person who doesn't give a damn about crypto be like, okay, so I can actually accept this and I can use it in all these places and things that actually interest me. And that's when you get global adoption. So I think it's really important that we continue the path of it on. But I really think it's important that everyone in BCH remind ourselves, like, what's the reason we're here? It's for decentralized, permissionless money for the world. That's the goal. And how we get there is via all the tech that we're putting into BCH.
And I think to add to that, you know, as BCH continues to grow, we've been talking about this a lot, Jeremy, it may be harder to improve it. A consensus may be so difficult to get while we're smaller right now. Let's make it as good as we can. And then we may be stuck in a position where this is what it is, and hopefully it's still good for, you know, humans for a while longer. And, it, you know, maybe it gets hijacked. Maybe it just no one can make a decision at that point. But right now, well, we can ship innovation. Let's do it.
Yeah, so Steve, talk to me about that then. People have like this concept that we need to be bringing in new blood, new talent. Like you said last year, maybe you felt you were a bit more new on the scene. How is BCH doing in terms of attracting new talent? Maybe what can we do better? And is there a risk in a certain sense that we attract too much talent, we build up our inertia and things start to slow down, at least at the protocol layer?
Yeah, I think Ulf and I were just talking about this earlier. At what point does the ball that's rolling downhill get so big that it becomes cumbersome and not as efficient, and you deal with the pain points and stresses of an ecosystem that's growing? I think that's really hard to define. You just have to kind of go through it and see what shakes out in the end. But, you know, ultimately tying into the bigger conversation here is, the downside of open source systems is they're not easily controlled. Now, the controllers like that aspect. They want to be able to control things. But in an open sourced, a free market type of system, the market ultimately decides. So it really doesn't matter what we think up here, because the market is going to make that decision at the end of the day. And I think if you're not providing a solution or a tool, somebody else is going to. And, you know, I'm not saying that more is better necessarily, but I think we have a healthy balance of the chip process that's kind of steering things subtly, but you also have people that are contributing to the space on an ongoing basis and coming up with ideas that are going to be largely out of our control since it's an open source protocol. So again, the market's going to decide ultimately what happens, and it's exciting seeing it unfold. As far as bringing people into the ecosystem, I think when you have tools, solutions, products, utilities, apps that meet needs, it's going to attract, the people will come. Not to use the field of dreams cliche.
Builders will come, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's true. You know, the market does provide when it's allowed to function. You know, we live in many societies now that it's, we don't really have free markets. They're corporatism. It's big government in bed with big business, and you don't actually have a functioning free market in many ways. But you know, some more than others, obviously. So I just think it's exciting, and it's fun being a part of, if nothing else. And if I'm having fun being a part of it, other people will also have fun being a part of it. So it's a self-fulfilling in its own way.
Yeah, yeah. So Fiendish, I know on the same topic of bringing talent into the ecosystem, I heard you saying earlier, you know, we've had a massive change in the last 3 years. Yes. In terms of BCH, how hard it was to get any attention on BCH, and then how hard to convert it into something positive, how hard to get a little bit of recognition or consideration.
B-Cash is trash. I think that was basically the most positive thing you would expect to hear about BCH outside of BCHs.
Yeah, and so now, you know, we've turned that ship around to a pretty convincing degree, and those eyeballs are really paying attention.
Definitely.
to us, right? So I don't know, what are we doing right to get that kind of attention, and what can we do to accelerate it?
Yeah, it's really simple. BCH isn't a bunch of victims, a bunch of whinging victim whiteness, which they were. You know, and I get it, there was the split, and it was really hard. I wasn't around then, so I it was really a dark time for the people that were involved. They lost their wonderful coin and the network effect that came with this. But today, BCH is filled with optimism. You know, people are, rather than looking at what's wrong and what's the problem, they're looking at the solutions, and seeing things as challenges to overcome. And so, what you said about having fun, exactly, BCHs are having fun.
The energy now is what I experienced in 2012, 13, 14, when I was first introduced to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but we actually have solutions to promote.
And I think, and the seriousness, that seriousness is still there. Like, we all are here. The reason we travel, all around the world to come to these conferences is because we really believe in the vision. So that nothing's changed there. Everyone's still as solid as before. Like, this is critical. But the mentality is, let's have fun. Let's make this work. And let's work forward. And when something happens, it's negative. It's like, okay, let's move forward.
Yeah.
Bit like the payments.
Find a solution, yeah.
Find a solution. Work on a solution. If we can't find a solution, okay, let's just do the best we can. So I think that's what's... So there is a cultural shift in BCH. And I think this is testament to the people that are in it and, the kind of people that are having, the impact. And I think everyone here is, very, very positive, very forward-thinking people. And this helps massively. And I really think that culture, when people come... Well, they're more likely to come, first of all, because of that culture, because it's attractive, as we're seeing. We're having BTCers entering into the conversation or coming into the Telegram groups. And they're more likely to stick around because, of course, you want to have an important mission, but at the end of the day, we want to have fun too.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's BCH, is exactly that. We are on the most important mission of humanity right now, and we're having a wicked time doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, Ryan, any thoughts on that? Maybe a bit of a longer arc for you in seeing the... transition from one to the other. I know you always say the trials and tribulations along the way, battle-tested warrior.
I don't know, it's been a glutton for punishment, I think, over the years. But no, it's been, again, what's going to get you excited about it? And I think a couple things will continue to work in our favor. If we can create more usefulness and just people using it as money. And then, I think we're, BTC, that they've had the fortune of their number go up. And I think the last 3 years, I think our number's gone, we've performed quite well. And I think that's going to just be a testament of what our efforts do, how the products work, how the transactions work. And, it's really, going through a couple forks, painful, but that, again, I still can't wake up and find a better coin,
That's it. Yeah. All right, so the ball is in our hands, right? And what you guys are talking about is, okay, we've got to keep up with the market in terms of privacy, in terms of stable coins. We're doing a decent enough job at that. We're getting the sandbox right, so we're attracting the talent. People are wanting to come and play with us. So the real question is, what's next? How do we, instead of just... I feel that a lot in a lot of aspects of BCH, for instance, in the wallet ecosystem. I feel like 3 years ago, we were way behind the game, right? But now we're right back up there, okay? Maybe we're not blowing the competition out of the water yet, but we're competitive for sure. The developer tooling, we're ahead of the game. Protocol, we're, overall probably among the best, but on specific edge cases, just need to round out that suite of things in terms of conferences, in terms of meetups, in terms of traction, hype, marketing, still got a little ways to go. So what can we do to get ahead of the game rather than just being, concurrent with it? Any thoughts, anyone?
I just think it's more people.
I think it's doing what you like to do and what you're good at. I have so much fun onboarding people with cash stamps, to the point where my wife rolls her eyes every time I come out. But it's fun and it works. It works. If you've got the opportunity there, take advantage of it. But that's what I like to do. Find out what you like to do in this ecosystem. If you're passionate in this ecosystem, contribute where you can. And that culmination of everybody doing that is going to have a compounding effect over time. So you got to find out what you're good at and do it.
Yeah. Finish, any thoughts?
Yeah, I share that sentiment. Do what you enjoy doing. Do what's fun. Do what's passionate, because you're going to do more of it, and you're going to inspire everyone around you to do it. What I think with Bitcoin Cash, like today, the thing that will draw in huge numbers of people within the cryptocurrency area already is quite clearly hash rate. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of BTCers that now are really signaling that, hey, you know, Bitcoin Cash, you're really shown, actually, you're not just a shitcoin, you're something real. But I still won't choose you because the hash rate's too low. So the price has to go up to improve the hash rate. Well, how do you improve the price? And I really think the way that I see this isn't going to be through merchant adoption. I don't see it's going to be, you know, for cash terms. I think these are all important. The way that I see it is it's going to be through utility, through, you know, an app, a system, a service that people use. They won't even realize it's Bitcoin Cash, but that service will offer genuine, real value to those users, like, you know, like the Ticketmaster idea or whatever it will be, like something that's using decentralized the network. And the underlying token or the underlying coin, and where exactly that comes from, you know, that's it's going to come from one of the people at this conference. I really believe that, and it's going to come through lots of failures, to be honest. It's like I'll be saying in my point tomorrow, is it Dyson Hoover, he had is it Jason? I think it's, he's got 5,000, he had created over 5,000 prototypes. They were all failures to be able to create world's first bagless Hoover. And it's like, but if you actually look at all the different, like where the amazement comes, like someone has an idea, but they just try out, they fail. They stick at it. And this is the important, they stick at it, but they iterate and they learn and they iterate. And what's the correct path at the end? Like, you can't predict that. It's organic, but you just have to stay at it and keep failing, keep learning from those mistakes and trying. So yeah, I really see the future explosion is going to be through apps and services and all the, you know, one of the projects that is being developed here, that's going to be the thing that does it.
Yeah, I thought you brought up earlier too, it is important, and I'm from the United States, and hopefully there's been whispers of you know, changing, you know, not making all your transactions a taxable event. I think that's going to be huge. Like you've been talking about, you know, I would feel inspired to go, you know, I within my ecosystem of businesses, like they're decent sized businesses, but they're, you know, maybe the biggest ones, like $100 million, that, you know, will do it. But if you want to get, you know, the big guys to start really using it, or get the right polished people to go sell them on why they should, you can't make their life harder, you know? And I think, you know, what we've learned, and the reason that I think there's some positive movement over there, unfortunately, seems to be lobbying. You know, I think Ripple and Cardano have got out their checkbooks and wrote large checks. So I'm not sure if that's the way for BCH. And that's why I think if either we're going to go ask for permission or, you know, use privacy tools to just go around it and then, you know, kind of create more ground up markets. One of those two paths is the way, maybe both, you know.
Exactly, but this is the important thing, it's decentralized. Yeah. Maybe both, because one group of people or one enterprise can be focused on one aspect, and somewhere on the other side of the world, completely independent, someone can be focusing on the other, and that's what's great about it. And that's what you're thinking, going back to the free market and the free market of ideas. That's what someone is basically going to throw a dart. Everyone's going to have like, no, that's the wrong way. And someone's going to be like, screw that, and just do their own thing. Yep. And that's going to be the thing that sticks.
Yeah, so we're trying to find that like geo arbitrage in there to, you know, cook up something in the cauldron, pun intended.
And I think what positive happened to BCH in the last week, I think, I don't know if it's big in Europe, but Venmo added a BCH in there, which I think kind of maybe helped with the price movement in the last week. But little things like that help just make sure it's available to people, it's visible to people. And then when they see the green one, then they got to learn what that green one is. And
down the rabbit hole again.
Right. Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, that's where BCH has always perhaps done a very good job of being sort of organic and grassroots, despite being small and suffering setbacks. It just has such hardcore community, basically, that it's unstoppable in that aspect, but it hasn't really been able to break out and get into the minds of the sort of the big money players. Obviously, they're usually interested in the bigger coins, but we've seen so much of with the ETFs, even now with nation states a little bit. How does BCH get into that game? Obviously, we're going to have to punch way above our weight, but that's something that's beholden on us regardless. You know, we can't have excuses about that. We just got to find solutions.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the best way by being like a stockpile. You know, I do think there will be speculative money out there that just look at the rate of return on a $2 trillion asset tripling versus an $8 billion asset. So I think there's some good arbitrage from BCH in that perspective. Why, and then look at the underneath it. Mm-hmm. You know, big money can move this coin from 8 billion to 100 billion or something like that. So I think being small also has its advantage of being just a smaller cap. Even though we're not too small either, you know, we're right there.
We're still in the solid, you know, I mean, top 20, billion, you know, yeah.
$8 billion is a, you know, from a corporate perspective, that's a massive company.
It's massive. Yeah.
So we're a bunch of cypherpunks in here, you know, moving an $8 billion asset. And if you look at, it's interesting. I saw someone push back, you know, when they show that chart of where BTC is ranked and, you know, global assets, I think it's like number 5 largest asset in the world.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, someone pointed out that's not a good chart to put it on. They should put it up there against money.
Yeah.
Like, right, how much is euros, all the USD. Dollars and euros worth? Because then we're talking...
It's not competing against money, right?
Not anymore. They just shrunk the sandbox. We exclude that. Oh, we're king of the world, guys. We did it. We lowered our standards and then we got what we wanted. Congratulations.
You never see those market caps. Yeah. Like, I want to see those market caps.
Yeah, because that's the market cap we're going on. Yeah. And it's much bigger. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I think you raised some good points there. And, like... is the fact that, yeah, I agree with you. We should be wary of this because, of course, at a certain point, Bitcoin Cash is going to be a global user economy and currency. And you're going to have businesses, you know, BlackRock that are using it and tapping into it. And that will be fine because it's such a mass. But what happens now is, like, we want the investment to match the community size because the community is full of really passionate people that believe in the cause. And if you were to have someone like Michael Saylor, you know, BlackRock moving into Bitcoin Cash right now, they would own complete dominance. You know, I guess your podcast is the largest viewing and, you know, has the most presence of any BCH content creator, but you would just be overruled entirely by that weight.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing that you could do to stop it. So I would say that would be a very double-edged sword, and I think we'll be destroyed by it. So I think as much as we'd all like to see the price of Bitcoin Cash explode and beat BTC, I think that it would, yeah, just the investment into the ecosystem should match the community. And we should rather, what I would rather see is actually, is that people here within the community with great ideas find investors into their projects and remain, retain control over their projects. So the investment is for 30%, whatever, yeah, of their business. So they still get to be the thought leader and the owner of that particular business. Because otherwise what will happen is BCH with the chip process or not, it will be hijacked. It will be overtaken, just like BTC.
I think what helps modify that is just also the daily trading volume. So you may, if you own, let's say, $3 billion worth of BCH, you don't really own it. I think what, a few hundred million trades daily or something like that.
Yeah,
and you can't actually get it.
There's some big arguments about that. That a lot of the trading is happening on Binance.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a recent thing. I just saw this on Reddit. Was that there was a relatively small purchase made on Coinbase, and the price went up to $475 or something like that. But on Binance, it stayed very flat. And so, you know, I've experienced this myself, and I think it's the same with BTC, that the volume, the real volume, is much less on all cryptocurrencies and including BCH. Yeah. what is the true volume? I don't think anyone can tell you.
That's to bump up the bank runs, right?
Well, that's bank run. Bump up the bank run. Well, literally just coming to that, you know, is we're going to be doing, it'll be our 6th bank run on the 15th. So shout out everyone, prep your exchange deposits.
We'll have everyone do it together.
Well, that was the thing. Maybe, you know, maybe we can coordinate it like live on stream. I always feel like, you know, there's people in different time zones. It's best.
We love Binance, by the way. We want to buy our Bitcoin Cash always from Binance. And then when we buy it, because we believe in non-custodial, we want to download every Bitcoin Cash into our non-custodial wallet. So for everyone listening, buy your Bitcoin Cash on Binance and withdraw.
But we've seen serious traction there, you know. Like, I was expecting this to be an idea that I would slowly have to grow, you know, and maybe in a year or in 18 months it was starting to take hold. But the community jumped on it right away. People have really enjoyed it. By the first two times, we saw the price spike in response the day after, interestingly.
Yes.
Once the money moves around, it doesn't spike on the day, it's the day after. The third one, Poloniex, had an issue with their withdrawals. The fourth one, Kraken, had an issue with their withdrawals. And then the fifth one, in the aftermath, we've seen this $100 spike on Coinbase and Binance being unable to match it. So,
and 12% interest. If you deposit your Bitcoin Cash on Binance, they're offering right now 12% return. And you win, and
yeah,
you compare that to
12%.
Exactly. This is important. Don't do it. But whereas BTC, you earn like 1% or less. So you can see, like, why would they be paying so much percent? You know, 12 times more than BTC. Is because, yeah, they don't have the BCH. It's like quite clearly that's the only reason they're lending it all out.
Now, I gotta say, and you know, we have in my eyes a legend here at this conference, Peter Risen. Everyone went over, shook his hand when he was here earlier. He stepped out now. He's gonna be speaking tomorrow, so everyone make sure Peter's for me a very important person in Bitcoin history. But it's really cool to see people come back, and I don't mean necessarily come back from like BTC per se, but like. I mean, the Brian Armstrongs, the CZs, these people were here for the mission that we're here for too at 1.2, and you know, I wonder what makes them fray away. And I think
you're Mr. Krabs right now.
Money. Well, I certainly think even let's say Bitcoin.com is moving in a direction too. I think these are all good things. You know, they're following that. So, you know, there's people don't want to be too early for something, I think is fair, maybe a fair way to say to them. Or I view people lack of being courageous in vision too. So not to be hard on that, I get people need to run businesses and produce profits, and BCH needs to be profitable for businesses, and I think that's our job. So I think as we're continuing to build, and I think the last 3 years have been the best 3 years of BCH,
I think
those people have no problem coming back. They'll have no problem not dumping our BCH anymore. So I think we're heading in the right direction for
that. But they were the underdogs. That was the whole point. They maybe believed in the mission, but they believed in the mission while they were the underdogs. And now they've, you know, moved up in the world. They've got more clout. They've got more money. They've got more on the line. Maybe they're kind of happy with where they're at. It's not so appealing anymore to be peer-to-peer cash Bitcoiners rolling the dice, you know, at BCH Bliss anymore, right? So I feel like we can't really rely on attracting back those people. I think that is a factor, and that's one of the reasons that I like BCH, is because once we get rolling, it will suddenly achieve this huge inflow that almost no other coin would have that claim to, or would have that mind share for someone to ring the bell in the back of their head.
I do think we already kind of started rolling. Last 3 years, we started rolling.
No, we are. But whenever it spikes into the top 10, let's say, suddenly, like, all eyes. Now it's the plugged in people, you know, the people who are paying attention have started to realize there's no laughing about BCH anymore, but it hasn't kind of hit the mainstream, the ripple effect. Has not swamped onto that.
I think bank runs are a big part of this, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was that much arbitrage between two exchanges. That's fascinating. That's fascinating.
Yeah, and the more you look
at it. I mean, there's always a little bit of slippage.
Yeah, but no.
That was way outside the realm of.
You know, and seriously, you know, if anyone's listening to contacts to Binance, you know, why aren't they just showing their.
They
deposits
their
of Bitcoin.
That's
yeah, they publish their reserves of.
But everything except BCH.
Everything other than BCH. And.
Coins.
You know, so one, but something like Binance, you know, it must have between 1 to 2 million of BCH deposited on there, or in paper BCH, if not in real BCH, because you think it is the largest crypto exchange.
Yeah.
And you know, so if they are short on BCH, just think about like how much. I mean, how much BCH has been not moved in the past 5 years? I think it's like 4 or 5 million or something like BCH.
Well, the stats are actually crazy because it's something like there's 19 million BCH. It's something like there's 8 or 9, I think, on BTC that is frozen and hasn't moved since the fork on.
Okay,
so BCH is like 13 or 14 million. There's probably only 5-6 million
circulating BTH.
So when you
since
think
the
about
fork,
that,
since
so
the
when
fork,
you, exactly,
it's less. It's like 2 million.
So if Binance, why aren't they proving the reserve when they're doing it of all other coins? Which means like there really might be a million BCH that have been paper sold. And if you just do the numbers, like if all of a sudden someone was to buy a million BCH. One can dream.
We need to get in these GameStop people.
Squeezing the.
We're coming full circle though.
The right mother there. Of yeah. all squeezes.
That was literally episode two of the podcast we did. Our Wall Street Bets versus Wall Street, and that was at the time that was what was happening in the financial world at the start of 2021. So we're now 4.5 years later, and that wasn't kind of quite replicated, but it was that watershed moment of breaking down people's barriers, the kind of idea of financial power in the people, and then that's led on to, of course, like all the meme coins and stuff. It's still sort of a successor of that kind of thing. How do we capture some of that energy and get it focused on BTH? That's more of a promotion and marketing question.
I got an idea I want to throw you off there.
Let's hear it.
I'll share this. I know someone that has a large following in the GameStop space.
Right.
And
why are you telling us this now and not too?
I reached out to him once about it, but I'm sure for a certain amount of BCH we could show him our story.
Right. Okay.
I mean, probably about 500,000 subscribers.
All right.
Can we short squeeze Binance?
I think we can.
Well, maybe it now. I think maybe we have the bank runs. We already have some of the data to get.
And I think if we well document that.
Yeah.
And put.
Well, I mean, with GameStop, they did a similar thing, and he was like one of the bigger. He was on Fox News for it, like and if we can get that throughout that whole market of people that just. Live that.
This is the next target. We found it, guys. Just jump on it.
I think if we can come up with a nice deck on what the problem is.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say who it is on air.
Yeah.
But I'm saying this person we started our YouTube channel at the same time, and he has a lot more subscribers than me.
Right,
But he pumping GameStop, he got very large.
All right. Okay. Steve, any ideas? How do we bank run Binance out of the
Make Binance our BCH.
That goes well on one of those, posters. We can AI generate that for sure,
There you go. Do it.
Oh my God.
One thing we do know is that throughout history, all fiat currency has failed.
Yeah.
And I don't think the US dollar is going to be any different. We don't know when. That's the hard part, is nobody knows when that is coming. But the cracks are definitely showing in the foundation for sure. And even with this new administration stateside, in true political fashion, they make a bunch of pomp and circumstance, and no heads are rolling.
Yeah.
No money is being reversed. The deficit is still climbing. So when that happens is hard to say, but real change usually is precipitated by crisis, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that may be what it takes. It may take a financial crisis. But when, not if, but when that happens, where are people going to flee to?
Yeah.
And I think BCH is the best lifeboat that we have available, currently and hopefully into the foreseeable future. So how that all unfolds, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be painful. It's going to be really, really messy, probably for a while. But if we can provide that solution for people to flee to, providing the utility of a medium of exchange, the store of value will follow the utility as a medium of exchange, then ultimately becoming a unit of account. So many maxis get that backwards with the bastardized digital gold store of value narrative. I'm like, you consider yourself an Austrian economist or adhering to the Austrian economic philosophy. Read what Mises says about the step process. Money as a medium of exchange has to be paramount. The store of value follows that. But it'll be interesting to see how it happens. I don't know if I'll even be around alive enough to long enough to see it. Hopefully I am.
Hopefully.
You've been staying fit, maybe steaks for dinner, right?
Maybe a crisis or some massive bank runs. We'll see.
Right. I guess the question is how And I'd say now it would be ugly, even for our ecosystem, if you had a massive run to it.
Of course, yeah.
I don't think anything could accommodate, but we human beings are creative. You know, yeah. we always manage to figure this shit out and provide solutions for people. Because with those massive changes comes huge opportunity.
Yeah.
And we are sitting on a gold mine of opportunity with what we have and what we're building. Continuing to build, so that makes me positive and gives me a hope, I guess, for the future. So
how do we front run the next crisis? Obviously, it's up to us to try and, you know, forearmed is forewarned kind of thing, or forewarned is forearmed kind of an idea. Obviously, you know, 12 months ago, the answer would have been, well, let's get Appler in there. Let's make sure our scaling is looking good. We've got that in at the protocol level. Maybe we can do a little bit more testing there, but that doesn't seem to be like, you know, the critical tipping point. Like that part of it is under control. So I think the easy part, the easy quote unquote part, is sorted in that respect. What else can we do to be ready for an absolutely massive influx of people?
The question for me is what thinking just what would we do next? When thinking about, like, yeah, the cracks are showing, and the government governments around the world are really doing a lot to remove all privacy with financial transactions, and they're really clamping down on cryptocurrency. And even under Trump's America, for me, what I'm seeing is that it's all progressing just like it was. It's just under a different umbrella. Yeah, so, like, there's no CBDCs. We're just going to call it something different.
Yeah.
But, you know. So, and so the cracks are there. And I believe that, yeah, absolutely, BCH is the best lifeboat today by far. But the governments around the world are not going to go down gently. They're going to give up a massive fight. And so as soon as people move and try and move to that lifeboat, it's a BCH, they're going to do everything to stop them. And they'll cut off all the points. They've already done that quite a lot now with, you know, the choke points, you know, KYC and everything. So they, but the next point then will be then to really, say, well, if you've used crypto, it's illegal. And so chain analysis will become a big part of preventing crypto use and preventing us go to use this lifeboat. So I really, again, I come back to privacy. I think that privacy is essential. When that happens, when the collapse happens, if it's in 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, if people can't use that money without the government, you know, it's going to be insanely hard to really break those transactions for one person. So they couldn't do it for everyone. I think that is critical to ensure that we actually really have a stable lifeboat for everyone. And they're not going to end up risking their lives or their families. That's what I'd like to see to answer that question.
Either of you two want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I agree to an extent. I just wonder how... What media will play in that? You know, currently today, but as you know, this last election in the States, I feel like independent media for the first time took over like traditional media, and can not control the narrative as much. So yeah, we can't rely on certainly them having the tools to demonize us, and then we need privacy for that. But I think making sure, and I'm sure there's some crypto projects in that. Maybe BCH doesn't necessarily need to be the one, but being able to keep media voices. And it became challenging, you know, during the COVID hike, even with independent media. You know, Elon bought X and Rumble popped up, and even TikTok was good for alternative media. But hopefully that, that's not the case, that we need, that the government can come up with a good enough story to make using crypto illegal. I wonder if the people would put up with that, and there wouldn't be enough media voices to stand up and say, hey, this is wrong.
Well,
let's get these people.
We had the pandemic not too long ago, and that's also tying into what you're saying. Maybe it was partly the pushback to that. Like, that was this hugely traumatic global event, and it created that pushback. Has that sown enough seeds of
trust is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
Trust is an all-time low, but we're already there today. So, like, if I was to go back 20 years ago, you didn't have access to someone's bank account. The government didn't have access to that in Germany and the UK. They would have to have a court order to be able to get access. We've got access to that all now. Australia, and also in Italy, I was just reading, you know, if you take out 3,000 euros and don't...
Spain.
Take out 3,000 euros and don't inform the tax office within 24 hours, you face up to 150,000 euro fine. Like it's already happening and people are accepting this. So this idea, and I really think like after, we gotta stop being naive, because yes, people are waking up to a certain level, or some people are waking up to a certain level because of the breakdown of mainstream media. But the thing is, even in social media now, we've still got now paid pundits that are independent, but they're still spinning their narrative. Like the end of the day, people have already lost almost all of their privacy with finances. The digital euro, von der Leyen says it's going to be coming out next year. The digital euro will be coming out soon, probably a lot sooner than the digital dollar. And they're already doing everything they can to get rid of cash. Like, and this is happening. You cannot withdraw like 1,000 euros cash in Germany anymore. And even when I sell stuff on eBay, that's all being sent to the tax office. So when I sell my product secondhand, I've already paid tax on, they are looking at that. Wherever it's being sold, not just eBay or any website, it's being sent automatically to the tax office so they can see if I owe tax on my products that I'm selling secondhand. So I think we're already so far down this rabbit hole, but most people don't even realize it. So the idea of like a CBDC comes out like next year, maybe is in Europe. And then what will happen is it's going to come out and it's going to be like this, because we've got a large a black hole in the finances in many countries in Europe. And a large amount of that is because of immigrants that have come, asylum seekers that are coming in and taking a lot more than they can pay into the pot. And the way that will come in, it's so obvious, and everyone will champion it, is, hey, we're going to bring our digital euro. We can give this money to asylum seekers, and they can only spend it on healthy food. Mm-hmm. They can't spend it on gambling. They can't spend it on cigarettes. Yeah. They can't buy an alcohol. They can't send it back to their family.
We can control their money.
Yeah. Everyone in Europe and everyone in Germany and everyone in all these countries are going to go, yay, left, right, yes, finally, we're controlling the tax money. And they'll be celebrating it.
Right.
Without realizing they've just gone into the mousetrap. They just bit the cheese, and now then of course, for that to work, we have to get rid of cash. Yay, fantastic.
And we've been priming ourselves worldwide for this for decades now. I mean, I rarely have cash in my wallet. I like to have a little bit for emergencies, but in the States, we are by and large a cashless society. You're swiping a debit or tapping a debit or credit card with every transaction.
Even I own a restaurant, like 2% of sales is cash these days, and that used to be a cash business. You know?
So we're already pretty far down there, so I really think the next step, I could really imagine in 2 or 3 years the government completely bans cash. Yeah. And absolutely no one is going to fight about it. Yeah. No one. Yeah. Just us.
But I mean, we're not even fighting that in terms of we're not going to be able to protest any of that. We're just trying to offer an alternative.
Exactly.
Which I think is a more productive way to do it, because you do see some of those people online. They've started following my account. You know, I sort of broke into a little bit in that sphere of things. And they're saying, oh, resist, you know, fight back, preserve cash, use cash, or whatever. But that's just a losing strategy.
And I think to get to Steve's point, and you know, saying, let's say media is not enough, and the people, not enough people will move, that it'll probably take a crisis. You know, people will acquiesce enough as their life is okay. They can put enough food on their kids' table. They can be just poor enough. You know, just poor enough that.
I like the analogy. A lot of people say, you know, the masses are sheep, but I argue they are very comfortable wolves.
Yes, that's good.
As the saying goes, there's what, 9 meals to anarchy. You go without 9 meals and the dynamic changes very, very quickly.
Wow. Yeah, 72 hours.
That's fascinating.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, recently in Spain and
Let's get this crisis going.
But to be honest, you know, you say that, but I think it would be better, because what I think is also, you know, I know the boiling the frog analogy is not based on fact, but it is a great analogy nevertheless, because it's true. What if we were to go back 50 years, not even 50 years, 20, 25 years.
Banning cash was a conspiracy.
If we were to go back 25 years and we were to show society where we're at today with how we have no privacy anymore with our finances, they would say this is tyranny. Yeah. They would, and I know this for a fact in Germany, like this is just, even just 5 years ago, like it's changed so much. This is tyranny. This is terrible. They would have revolted. If we just did this one jump from then to now, people would have been on the streets and there would have been, there would have been revolution. But they just keep on chipping away and chipping away. And I do think, I like that analogy, comfortable wolves. I think that's correct. But the problem is the wolves, they will continuously get used to their situation up until you're in full blown totalitarianism. But nothing's, I haven't experienced anything negative. So you have got no freedom. What's that? So well, the wolf, yeah. You know, you're taking away
so,
the teeth.
So I wonder if it's a general human nature or are overlords like just as smart? Like, like it's got to like be some kind of like way that, you know, I just don't view them as that smart, but somehow we play to their hand.
I attribute it to the diffusion of responsibility, not only from a national perspective, but society and the human race in general. We've outsourced everything, including our personal responsibility.
Yeah.
We kicked you guys out of our country over 2% tax on tea.
Yeah. I know. Think about that.
And
that's my point.
How far we've fallen since.
Yeah, but that's my point. Imagine if you had to go back that far and show basically, okay, you fought the British over a few percent in tax on your tea so that you could live in a country where you pay, you know, how many months of your year are you paying in tax? Like, it's insane.
Yeah, it's mad.
America's not, everyone still thinks America's low tax. Like, no, it's really not. It's very high. Okay, it's not as high as most European countries, but most European countries are insane. Yeah. It's, you know.
There's a lot of indirect, tax.
Yeah.
And how much people expect it. I was in Croatia yesterday on a little boat tour, and I met this guy from France. And I was just explaining I'm an American, and he had his thoughts on Trump. And I'm not saying like I'm a big Trump guy, but he does not like Trump at all. That's his perspective from his French perspective. And I was like, what upsets you the most that he's doing? And it's that the United States does not want to pay for Germany's military anymore. I'm like, I was like, I gotta understand. We run a $2 trillion. We run a $2 trillion deficit. Like, we can't afford to pay for their military.
But why would a French person care about that?
He just thinks he thinks like the United States is like this, you know, like this beacon of freedom, and they're taking care of things. And he's like, and he should have done it. If he wants to do it, he should do it in a slow way. I'm like, there's no good way. Like,
the people
are going broke. You know, like the average American who's struggling to get by does not like the fact that we're subsidizing a foreign country. You know, so anyways, it just falling back to like the, you know, what people find is acceptable or get upset if they're not getting these needs taken care of.
Everybody has a pain point.
Yeah.
Well, it's that Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Where in a world now where the actual standard of living relative to history is obviously the highest it's ever been. The poorest people can still, in general, get easy access to food and, in fact, maybe more calories than they really should be having. Right. It's not good for them, but they can get it and it's cheap, and even if they're not making money. So even if the relative standard of wealth is not rising with technology, it's still above sort of the baseline human needs of, you know, survival and shelter and clean water, right? That stuff is still going to be universal. So will it take a crisis big enough to put a substantial amount of the population who are already maybe just above that threshold, but them and a few more below that threshold before you get that kind of kicking into gear? Like, is that what it's going to take?
Yeah, it's really hard to say with something as fundamental as money changing for, let's say, BCH to be that lifeboat, right? Like, is that what we're doing here? Are we creating humanity's lifeboat, or are we creating something that humanity will adopt quicker? I guess that's the question.
You're seeing a change. I know, at least in the States, you're seeing a lot of people becoming more self-reliant, growing their own food, having chickens for a protein and egg source. And you're starting to see that niche, if you will, grow. And BCH fits perfectly within that niche. You know, just 2 weeks ago, I was at the farmer's market in our town, and I was able to onboard somebody that sells honey, local wild honey. I put a post on Twitter, but and he was like, his eyes lit up, because he was packing up his stuff. He had one pint left of honey, and he had put away his Square machine or whatever, his Stripe thing. I say, do you take crypto? He's like, oh, I'd love to. I was like, well, let me give you BCH right now. I gave him a cash stamp, literally in under a minute. He was paid for his honey, had a Celine wallet installed, and his eyes lit up, you know? So, and that's small, local, organic, grassroots growth there. So my hope is that he, you know, tells other vendors in the market, you know, about how our transaction went, and it grows that way. But the point is, I'm trying to make is that you're seeing people, I think, reclaiming these responsibilities that they've diffused. The glamour and glitz in the lifestyle that comes with urban and city living isn't what it once was. No. And that reality is becoming true. You're seeing people move away from the city centers, trying to get property if they can.
Remote work.
All of these things that play a factor, and BCH fits in perfectly with that trend. Will it continue? Who knows? But I think you'll always have dense urban population areas that aren't going to buy that philosophy, but at least you're seeing a bit of a shift in that regard. And you can look no further than the social media. I mean, homesteading is huge in the United States right now. You can, even if you don't want to do it yourself, you can buy into a community that already has, you know, their local markets and what have you. So, you know, I guess it's targeting those different niches and communities with something that works well as a medium of exchange that could help growth as well. So, yeah, I don't know. The realist in me says it's going to take an absolute fallout and crisis before we get real change. But in true government fashion, they create the problem and then they swoop in as the messiah with the solution. And that's what we have to try to subvert. And I think that simply comes with education. That's really where I want my focus to be going forward, is educating people. Because most people, when you say crypto, I think everybody knows what Bitcoin is nowadays. Even my mother, almost 80 years old, knows it. She's heard the term. But they have such a skewed and bastardized narrative and version of it that the only way to counter that is with educating them on the true intended purpose of Bitcoin, which is a peer-to-peer electronic cash system. So that's where I want to focus my efforts in actually educating people, whether it's seminars. Of course, we're all doing our part in this regard, and you are one of the biggest loudspeakers for the community with the channel. I'm here because of your channel. So,
if I could add a little bit too, you know, I think the early days of Bitcoin worked really well in terms of just organic growth was, you know, like investors coming in, buying the coin, and then investing in businesses around it and seeing the price go up, and then the price would go up, and then they had more money to reinvest back in. And I think that, you know, I believe the last 3 years is starting to create that ecosystem. You're able to run your businesses with that, you know, General Protocols and all the other people here today, is that the money comes into the ecosystem, improves it, number goes up. You know, people that invested get their money back that way. We all get richer inside of it. We can all start chipping in. We can host conferences. We can do these things. So I think that's critically important. And that was something that we lacked, you know, with the chain splits of able to get that kind of compounding return. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was like the heyday of BTC. You know, it was just growing so much and the money could get reinvested back in. But there's nothing really to invest back into in the ecosystem. So I think as long as we stay healthy and unified as a community, that kind of cycle and investors that are investing into the businesses that are here today to see developers' projects will create that organic growth. And that's the whole mission of Bliss. Yeah. That was the whole idea. And we really got focused. Remember that one day we sat there?
I was we didn't finish that session, by the way. We got to go back to the vision work. Yeah.
Because we were debating like different, like what we wanted to accomplish here. You know, and Jonathan and Jeremy would sometimes go in a different direction. I was like, let's
talk. Ryan's trying to mediate.
And I was like, what is our why? Why do we exist? why should anyone come to Bliss? And that we made that video that really, I think, sounded it.
Yeah.
So everyone watch, you know, that video, what is BCH Bliss, and you'll really understand the mission and the ethos, and hopefully we deliver on our mission over the next 3 days. And thank you for everyone for coming out to be a part of it.
Yeah, okay, so I want to hit a couple of quick topics, and then we'll wrap this up. We've been going for a while, but just, you know, that was some big picture stuff. Let's get down to brass tacks. We've got the chips that are currently circulating around, Loops, Payscript, and OpEval. Any thoughts on any of those from what you guys know of it, or maybe things you're hoping to get clarified or discussed in conversations here at Bliss?
Yeah, I mean, for me, Loops is, see, from the developers I've spoken to, it seems to be the one that is really missing from the scripts the returns that we can use. It simplifies coding, makes it, you know, much easier for developers to get in. So that makes sense. It'd be interesting to listen to a bit more for the other two, because I've heard a lot more discontention, like a lot more questions with the challenges that has been created by it. It's something that Jonathan said recently. It's just like, you know, we've made a lot of changes recently. Over the last few years, we've been very active in BCH, and we've added a lot to it. And of course, it was scrutinized very well, but we've added a lot. And so when there's this sort of contention from developers I have a lot of respect for about the unknown impacts that this can have and really what's the value today for this, that puts a lot of question marks to me, because I do think we want to see we want to create the best chain possible as soon as possible, for the reason being that once there's that critical mass there, it's going to be very difficult to make those changes in the chain, like you're seeing with BTC, that happen with any chain of a sufficient size. But at the same time, if we get anything wrong, then if we lose trust, then we lose the game. So we have to money has to be the focus, and that money, whatever we do, whatever we add to BCH, the money aspect of it has to be trustworthy and can never fail. So yeah, looking forward to listening to it and what people have to think about it.
Ryan, any takes before we?
Yeah, I mean, I really, they're all developer focused. I'd have to hear more and see more. And are they all running?
BCH and has an implementation of all of them that ships.
I'll just say that I like. It's even fascinating this year that we were like, we might not even have an upgrade. So it's really cool to see the ecosystem existing and even debating. We're getting ahead of next year, and there's again, some we're not going to talk about now. Maybe we'll talk about it the next few days. But I think the block speed is a
that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, so we'll wait for that. But I just like the ideas coming together. We're so much ahead of last year already at this point. The fact that we have three chip proposals. When we sat down 8 months ago, we're like, we'll throw an event, even though it may not be an upgrade.
Yeah.
And next year we're walking into what sounds like a handful of opportunities. And I think they should all go under good scrutiny. And I think the chip process itself is healthy. And I don't know enough to say I can, I'm ready to endorse anyone at this point.
Steve, a take on any of these?
I'm going to echo Ryan's sentiments here. We all stand on the shoulders of giants in one way or another. And the technical side of thing is just simply above my pay grade. I listened to episodes with Jason, and Fiendus had one with Noel. I listened to the one with Noel twice, trying to... trying to, by osmosis, if nothing else, obtain some of the information. And I am picking up. I'm learning a little bit, but I'm almost 50. I'm not going to start coding now in my life, But I do want to know enough about it to make as an educated decision on these things as possible. But just to echo Ryan's point again about the chip process, it's not perfect, and any open source type of platform is going to have push and pull and the struggle there. But the fact that we are not completely hamstrung like the BIP process and BTC Core, I think, is a testament in and of itself. So as long as we can keep moving forward, and resistance is good. It's good. That's how you hash things out and figure out what the best path forward is. Yeah. But I think if we can keep that fluidly working chip process going forward, then we've got a long way to go with that.
All right, last one before we close out. Ryan, you already hit on it, the 1 minute block time. So that's not got an exact proposal yet, right? But this is more in the works, maybe 27, 28, Bitcoin Cash orders put the idea out there. It's done actually a pretty good job if you look into all the research and analysis. This is serious business. This is not just like, oh, guys, wouldn't it be cool? But it's surprised me actually how quickly it's gone from, no, we can never do that, mm-hmm. to, there's maybe something to dig into here. And that really makes me think of the flexibility of the mental model of the community, and also the fact that we recognize that we just have to deliver better solutions. That's the situation we're in. There can't be any sort of sentimentalism about these magic numbers that were picked out of the air, and the block time perhaps is, in a different category, more akin to the block size than to the 21 million coins. Changing the 21 million coins, there's a whole bunch of economic reasons not to, but the block time was just picked at a certain point of time, and technology has changed. Things have moved on. So what are you feeling about even just that concept, or then the idea? Would we be straying down a path of than, you know, endless bickering over the next thing. I don't know. Do you think the community will be open to it?
Yeah, you know, I've heard this idea before, and I shared some videos from Sovereign.
Oh, that's amazing. Shout out to Sovereign Nan.
Sovereign
Nan. Has videos 3 years ago where he was just in the fucking future. And he's just talking about, like, all the stuff that Bitcoin Cash orders later reinvented.
Right.
And then, oh, my, that guy.
And I remember commenting, and he made a few.
He's an oracle.
Yeah. You know, and we talked about it a little bit more at length, and you know, because I feel like Bitcoin Cash just works, and you know, I don't have any issues with zero conf. And so when I said, like, you know, I don't really understand why we should, you know, maybe make a big deal out of it, and I thought the pushback was pretty healthy. It was, well, right, it's at least one more check off that, you know, someone that doesn't know that, you know, that zero conf for casual transactions more acceptable than a credit card. Like a credit card, you could recall, you could do all kinds of things. Like it's better, but it's one less thing for someone to say there being any kind of issue with it, and less of an educational. Now I got to learn what zero conf is. Now I got to learn what this is, and if there's not any other big, you know, technical pushback towards it, which I'd love to hear from other developers of any other, you know, proposed risk with it. You know, I would be in favor if it was a healthy move, because it's one less thing that someone could say. You know, why BCH is maybe why some coin's better, you know, or something. Litecoin or, you know.
Got to echo the same. You know, I'm not going to speak above my pay grade, so, and it would be very obvious if I tried. So.
But you don't feel any, like, 10 minutes was prescribed to us.
Satoshi had it right.
Yeah. The white paper says.
I found it interesting that Jason brought up that it was actually 15 minutes in the original.
It. And then he tracked it up. He followed that back, and he produced the receipts as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, I don't. If it makes for a healthier, more robust ecosystem without huge, serious trade-offs, I give it a thumbs up.
Finish, any thoughts?
Yeah, I was also blown away by how this went to, hey, this is really complex because businesses are building actually the assumption of the 10-minute blocks. And so it could really break a lot in the ecosystem that we've went from that, like, to actually, no, this is technically quite possible to implement. I think what's important is to make sure that if implementation is there, is that it isn't going to break anything, like, for anyone. Because if there are people making assumptions out there, even if it's just, you know, a small business, that trust is so important not to break. So we need to be very careful there. I think, you know, the main reason, as I understand, why that thought was about was not about actually security. It was more about the block variance. I can't remember the stats, but it's basically, so the average time is 10 minutes. But of course,
the average wait is 17 minutes.
The average wait is, yeah, so because you will have lots being 2 minutes or 3 minutes. Okay, well, then how do you get an average of 10? Because you have some that are like half an hour or 40 minutes. And so actually by having the block done every minute, it will reduce that block variance. You know, if you have 10 blocks, so that it will happen within a much more regularly predictable time, which absolutely will make life easy when using things like exchanges or anything when you have, you know,
seven confirmation.
Exactly. And of course, now they'll time, you know, times 10 the number of confirmations needed. But
they might or they might not. But you need to get that first one to get on the board, and then you're just like, okay,
exactly.
Now it's just rolling
down. But at least then, rather than waiting, you know, it might be for several hours or it might be for, you know, an hour, it would be a much more predictable time that you have to wait. So I think that's really good. And from, of course, the more blocks, I think from what I understand, if you had 10 blocks, then even at the same hash, the security would be slightly higher anyway.
Yes, it's harder to reorg.
It's harder to reorg. And I do think, you know, what I think is, like, what are the real gains, you know, if using zero conf? You're not going to wait a minute.
Yeah.
To pay for your groceries, so it doesn't help that aspect. So zero conf has to work, which leads me on to a little bit, because for me a topic that's sort of linked to that in the zero conf thing is the idea of, is it ZK? What is the, where you're using proof?
CC's the zero conf escrows.
Exactly. This is something that this topic, like, has more question marks for me, because I think, as like yourself, like, zero conf for me is fantastic. I trust that more than Visa or MasterCard. Reversing a transaction on credit card is so easy, whereas zero conf is much harder. So I see like anything that diminishes zero conf is a danger, and we should scrutinize that very carefully. Not saying that it's wrong, because I definitely wouldn't say that, but zero conf does work, and I think we should encourage more rather that when it comes to security, that when under a certain amount relative to the price of Bitcoin Cash, that actually zero conf is perfectly safe, which I think is a wallet issue, which I think is a UI issue, and some sort of visual feedback based on the amount, maybe.
Yes.
So that's
well, in Selene, we always just accept the payment, and I think we have an open ticket to add a flag or a warning if it's over some certain amount. We haven't even implemented it yet. We've never had a single person have a problem with it yet. So it just does work. We're really talking about the edge cases.
Yeah. Exactly. It's more of a theoretical problem there, rather than one that we really see in
zero
the wild.
Zero conf's always been.
And everybody kind of talks about that, but then you say, like, when have you ever had a problem with this? And even people who are theorizing online, well, I can submit that, and it's like, just do it then and show us like one case.
Do it and start robbing money because you can, you know, if it's that easy, then you could become quite rich.
Yeah. Right. Just hands up. Yeah. You know, quit your Twitter warfare. And make a few million from stealing all our cash and then get back to us, guys, you know, like, kind of calling them out. All right, so we'll wrap it up here then. Just a final message or sign off, anything you have to say while you guys have got the mic and you're on the live stream. Steve, I want to start with you going to... So you can't piggyback off Ryan again. That's right. you've got to be careful with using that card. You know? Final thoughts on Bliss, what you're hoping to get out of it, and how you found it so far. I don't know.
Sure. Bliss is great. Glad to see. I think ticket sales are up a little bit this year.
Yeah, we slightly outperformed last year.
That's good.
I think attendance will be up even higher.
Yeah, growth is good. So and if you get a chance, check out Ljubljana. It's a beautiful place. I guess in closing, I'll say this same thing I've said since I found Bitcoin, is that you don't hate fiat enough. At the end of the day, the separation of money and state is the crisis of our time. Not only from a zeitgeist perspective, but from a literal perspective. You have to work more just to maintain your current lifestyle as they debase and inflate the currency. So Bitcoin Cash fixes that. So that's all I'll say in closing.
Right. Awesome. Great message. For everyone that's here, that's going to be here, everyone that watches, just like so much gratitude. You know, like there's a lot of work that goes into it, and it means nothing if, you know, people don't show up and contribute. And the amount of enthusiasm and like gratitude meant, you know, giving back, you know, it means the world. And, you know, for the same reason Steve mentioned, that, you know, it's why I'm so passionate about it. And this is where the real work gets done. And I thank you guys, you know, everyone, you know, in the BCH community, or even our friends and other peer, if you believe in peer-to-peer electronic cash or sound money, you're cool in my book. But, you know, I think BCH is a great place to be. And looking forward to spending time with everyone and getting to meet you and see how your last year has been, if you're back, and if you're first timer, excited to meet you. So thank you guys.
Danish, final thoughts?
Yeah, so I can just chime in what you said already, Steve. It's pretty freaking important, right? Separating money from the state. Right? That's really why we're all here. Decentralized money for the world, for everyone, not just anyone. And I'm so glad for Bliss, and thank you for organizing, and for Jonathan, if you're listening at any point, because it's really important. We have to be successful. The size of the network is so important for money, and it needs to grow for success. And that's what Bliss is about. It's about getting all these amazing ideas from our great developers here, to build teams, to build businesses, to pair entrepreneurs and investment with developers with great ideas, bring it all together to create actual profitable businesses that generate real and create real usage of Bitcoin Cash and help its use as money for the ultimate cause of separating money from state and removing fear from our lives once and for all time.
Yeah. All right. Amen. Okay, and I'm just going to sign off. We'll be back with the Bliss Day 1 live stream tomorrow at 9 a.m. Slovenian time, which is UTC plus 2. Thank you for tuning in. If you've been watching on the live stream and our audience here as well too. And,
thousands of people.
we can't show you, but it's absolutely packed. We're beating away the adopters at the door there, actually. But I hope you've all enjoyed this little Bliss pre-live stream, and we'll see you tomorrow for day one.
Hey, how about those Velmas? Guess something Velmas? About the Velmas. Hats off to Jeremy on the Velmas.
Steve got a good Velma. Let's put
whoever chose 25, 26, and 37, you know who you are. You know your Velmas probably a little more intimately than you should, but I can't fault you for it.
So. All right, that's it. And if we can play out with the BCH Guru song, if we have it lined up, there we go.
32 seconds.
All right, okay. All right. Yeah. No, that's a banger. That's full circle, you know.
Is BCH Guru here?
Is he gonna be here?
I don't know. We're gonna find out. But they got the full anon team, you know. They're like, they don't have a single public facing rep.
Completely. I was gonna say, I don't know.
You don't know who are they? They might be here.
I've asked them. They may be in this room.
Apparently they're known, or like people who know who they are, but they're anonymous.
People in the know, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, but I
figure like we're kind of in the know, but I guess.
I just found out you're not in the know, Ryan. Live on there.
There's many levels. You thought you were at the top.
You're at the first level.
You don't need to know.
They've been around for a while.
Yeah. Well, that, I was thinking, you know, when we look at the Cash Tokens like live stream, like they were coming up with, we're going to launch stuff on Cash Tokens and whatever. Like that was more than 2 years ago when they were announcing. They did that initial video we did on the podcast and everything like that. And I was just thinking that they've delivered. I mean,
they've really
they're
delivered.
Still here. They're still plugging away. They shipped their dividends the other day. I got my.
And they might be in the audience here, for all we know. Like, you know, one of the many, you know. BCH Gurus, you're awesome. Thank you for your awesome work, your awesome site, and this banging
energy. I'm sure they'll be watching.
And that's a lot of crypto. I'll meet a lot of people over the next few days. And you won't
know.
That's why you get the non-KYC.
All right,
go. Know you this. Hear me know my super new. This is the voice of BCH. Good. Coming at you. Motivation for the youth.
Lies them a tell, big fire them a burn. Discouraging the youths when them try them best to learn. Them smiling on your face but conspire when you turn. Pray for we consume and only buy never earn. But now we know the truth of the point of no return. We manifest the prophecy in each and every word. Inspiring peace, love and joy across the world. Flying free like a bird. We giving them straight bliss. We forever strong, never break this. Tell the DJ I'm up to play this. Champion in Bitcoin, it's called the BCH. We giving them straight bliss. Original, you could never fake this. Number one song in your playlist. Pull your pocket up with Bitcoin, them call it BCH.
Straight bliss. Yeah man. Everything up and running. Going forward. Not looking back. Not taking no discouragement.
Proper thunder, all them want for us to see. Disguise and disguise to cover up them poverty. Defy all the pressure coming from the policy. We find our freedom in another currency. Them try to force them authority. Clothing hypocrisy. Number them a small but control the majority. Hear the war a cry, time for peace and harmony. It's our gift to bring to earth. We giving them straight bliss. We forever strong, never break this. Tell the DJ I'm up to play this. Champion in Bitcoin, it's called the BCH. We giving them straight bliss. Original, you could never fake this. Number one song in your playlist. Pull your pocket up with Bitcoin, them call it BCH.
Don't blink twice or your eyes might miss. They can't poison a vibe like this. We stay flirting for life, no person alive can try to disturb my bliss. Cool in the sun and we hot in the shade. We black and white but we not in the grey. Not with dishonesty, not with commodity. Now we make profits on blocking a chain. Stack Bitcoin appreciates. Keep it short to abbreviate. We get high, no THC. Just take flight like BCH. Don't blink twice cause your eyes might miss. We bring joy in the light like this. They can't poison a vibe. Enjoy for the night till we float in the sky straight bliss.
We giving them straight bliss. We forever strong, never break this. DJ Muffy play this champion in Bitcoin, it's called the BCH. We giving them straight bliss, original, you could never fake this. Number one song in your playlist, pull your pocket up with Bitcoin, them call it BCH. We giving them straight bliss, we forever strong, never break this. Tell the DJ Muffy play this, champion in Bitcoin, it's called the BCH. We giving them straight bliss, original, you could never fake this. Number one song in your playlist, pull your pocket up with Bitcoin, them call it BCH. We giving them straight bliss.
And so we deal with it. Straight bliss.